Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you are listening to Bad Company. The show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets. We also have anthologies available on Amazon that help support these shows, so feel free to check those out. And that said, tonight's show is based on picks from the Blanket Permission reading list. So that's, and some open poetry as well. And so I appreciate you tuning in and having a listen, and I'm going to check the studio here real quick and see if we have any callers. Nope. It looks like it's just little me. All right. Okay, so I'm going to grab the first link, and I'll post that to the group, and then we'll get going. All right, here we go. Okay, so this is by a poetry on our by a poet host on our show called Robert M. And he has a recording of this, so I will play that in the studio. All right, here we go.
This is called my recital of Tears of Twilight. Sorrow, she had always been my faithful muse, the avatar of grief, a veritable virtuoso of the art of mental lashing, the insatiable mistress of melancholy. Our unison procured volatile pearls of Tenebris Hereth, each a concentration of beauteous anguish, pulsing and resonating with each thrum it wished to be set free. We twisted words to our will, bending poetry, distributing chaos like seeds of a sinful persimmon and a timeless odyssey. So there we were, my wicked mistress and I bathed in shadows. Each of her kisses was like a new pledge that choked my heart into sweet oblivion. 'Twas a match made in hell, seemingly a kismet of divine agony. After decades of torment, her hunger deepened. Tenacious fangs began to plunge nearly as deep as coffin nails, leaving me broken, withered, lifeless. A menacing macabre, savage and pugnacious, with me as her tattered puppet. So, in order for me to survive, in order for me to continue this life, I had to sever the strings that strangled me so. With what little I had, I cracked open my worn shell in desperation. The horrid banshee, misery incarnate, had felt the wrath of luminescence as the light of hope pierced her brittle heart. Loosing a final shriek of terror that sent tremors throughout my body, she shattered into millions of tiny tears of twilight, shards in varying shades of periwinkle. The petrichor abound in the aftermath helped in easing the shock for the briefest of moments. As the light faded, I was left in the pit of teeming darkness. The damage had been done. My despair was the great catalyst in my poetic growth. In its absence, the corridors of my mind that were carved out by the tendrils of malignancy are now empty and barren. In the end, I had to auction off my emotions in order to sustain. The nothing I am now is a testament to the struggle that had found its cessation. In my chest, emptiness now resides. Seems that the perpetual puppet still must dance with merely the promise of brand new strings.
Well, what an amazing read, and such a dark and yet uplifting poem. You know, he comes through this misery and agony of his muse being an avatar of grief, a veritable virtuoso of the art of mental lashing, the insatiable mistress of melancholy. I mean, that's just the first stanza, and then it just goes on and on with how you know, the horrid banshee, misery incarnate, had felt the wrath of luminescence as the light of hope pierced her brittle heart. In the end, I had to auction off my emotions in order to sustain. The nothing I am now is a testament to the struggle that had found its cessation in my chest. Emptiness now resides. Yeah, and that's an epic poem, just a killer, killer poem. And he's the host of Soulless of Shadows, and you can find that on this site as well. Well, an excellent job, Robert. Beautifully read and fantastically written. Amazing. All right, I'm going to grab the next poem here after I check the studio real quick. All right, here we go. Just a little me. All right, here we go. Oh, wrong link. All right, I'm posting the next poem here into the group of late night poets. And this is by Andrew Bittman. And My Hope is a Muse. This is by Andrew Bittman. My only encouragement comes when I wake to the morning light, when the breath of life rejuvenates the spirit worn at night. There was a time when creativity calmed my restlessness. Words of profundity would seek me out and give me their best. When I was cornered on all sides by bitter isolation, in those days I could not rest because every occasion was awkward, was my faulty communication. I saw no hope back then because I thought I could not do right. Every interaction was a crushing, burdensome mess. Before poetry arrived and gave voice to a foundation. At 16, I was struck by enlightening. She became my muse. Our conversation opened doors to opportunities new. Heightened awareness brought comfort from personal states of hell. I began to push myself beyond my limits, yet still felt hopeless and helpless. I excavated my vocabulary with the words that could make my language extraordinary, but I could not make joy the picture of my mind's library. Happiness fluttered by like a butterfly. We must not choose against Lady Enlightening's gift of vast intellectual wealth, the hope she brings every morning just begins his story. Well, that was beautiful. I mean, you know, he found hope through poetry, which is, I think, something that we all do to some degree. You know, we unburden ourselves and seek enlightenment. And I really liked his against Lady Enlightening's gifts of vast intellectual wealth, the hope she brings every morning just begins the story. Fantastic, right, Andrew? Powerfully written. And wonderful, right, Andrew? I appreciate your poetry. And you actually have started a company called andrewbittman.com, the written bit blog. I'm a self-published author of four comprehensive anthologies in the Wild Writers trilogy, among other things. So, yeah, beautiful. Excellent, right? All right, I'm going to check the studio here quick. Yeah, okay, just me again. All right. This next one has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. This is by Barley Bach, and it's called, I don't know what it's called, actually. Crossing Eternity by Barley Bach.
Crossing Eternity. Stardate 224. Quehatut. Look into the darkness. Listen to the cosmic babble and know I am the light. The memory of words climb away at half our speed through quasi-lalic walls and virtual crystal window pane. Translucent and absorbent. My pulse hangs in palpable darkness. Light is light as light dissolving. Drunk is my pen. My heart stretched out across the continuum of polished marbled ink, bent jet black above this great galactic rim, our last known point of plasmic origin. Eyeballs froze on Magellanic cloud, an open portal at the far end of our common room. Stern to bow, pierces the permanent black dot. From our underworld, the dreaming earth, we slide in seismic slipstream, suspended on atomic string. Missioneers, gone to meet our maker. Firstborn son. A particle is particle. Particle of energy. A thought. Thought to fill ferocious void. Darkness is all there is. In the infinite shadow, lifeless limbs devolving on the astral plane. Time is no arbiter here to haunt our heads. We are here, there, and everywhere. in the great dreaming. Dreaming. We are as Dharma, here, there, and everywhere, aesthete. So this is bliss, for bliss is the beauty of her face, etched in ageless congruence, exquisite. I touched the conscious icy pupil of her brilliant eye, the grand Virgilian plains of Andromeda, revolving spiral of orgasmic genesis, Gnostic ruler of men. Like stardust and feathers, exploding in perpetual flower, with unending grace, into the permeable night we pass. Night is night. Night is all that is now, is night. You and I, we are billion, locked in fetal coil, evolving in the navel of Milky Ways. My finger glows. I close my eyes, torn from the virile mass suspension. Forever as I am shall be. One tear, burning deep as a river, crossing eternity. Hear me now, quiet still in this dark and mighty chamber. Listen to the endless raging buzz of cosmic matter, and know I am beyond the light, resolving. Stardate 223.64, Equero. I'm passing through, scribbling on the edge of sound, Plutonic heretics of the night, burning a hole in time. Can you not hear me now?
Wow, what a fantastic read. I really love that read. And I've had this on my show in 2012, and it really was great to hear it again. I enjoyed it thoroughly. A fantastic, right on, traveling through space and time and the feelings that you go through in that period of existing. And eyeballs froze on megalenic cloud, an open portal at the far end of our common room. Stern to bow pierces the permanent black dot. From our underworld, the dreaming earth, we slide in seismic slipstream, suspended on atomic string. Mission is gone to meet our maker, firstborn son. Just a beautiful poem, very ethereal, and it definitely was operatic, Robbie, I agree. And then the music was Lacrimosa from Mozart's Requiem, as Stelina pointed out. And he really does capture the natural space-like beauty to his poem. All right. Hello and welcome to the show, Naomi.
Hello, Gray. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, doing good. I was just sitting here and listening in, and I was hearing your comment, and I was like, oh, boy, he's alone, so I have to phone in.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that, Naomi. What did you think of Bart?
No problem. What an outer space experience he gives us here. Whoops, I keep losing connection and getting back connection. I don't know what that is. An outer space experience he gives us here, out of this world. I love how he starts off, without any music, and then the music floats in as if he's, the more he's floating out into space. I really liked, the stanzas, I touch the conscious, icy pupil of her brilliant eye, the grand Virgilian plains of Andromeda, a revolving spiral of orgasmic genesis, Gnostic ruler of men, like stardust and feathers exploding in perpetual flower with unending grace into the permeable night we pass. And, what an amazing, amazing rite, like I said. This is just a superb, just amazing. And I want to know how he did that, put the whole galaxy all across the page. Usually it's cut up where we write. It's a white box. But he puts the whole thing just goes all across the page. Makes it amazing. So it's just an awesome, awesome write. And, one that will stick with you, surely sticks with the reader. And I won't forget this for sure for a long time. So it's very well done.
Excellent comment, Naomi. Thank you. And thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. All right, I'm going to post the next write. And if you wouldn't mind, please, reading that, Naomi, that would be great.
Okay. Okay, this is Mystical Magic by Betty Page. That's it. Am I on the right right place?
You are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Deep jet black starlight cascades, shimmering diamonds dancing, swirling, twirling, round and round, sweet butterflies on display. Divine alchemy, rise. Swing in absence, Moulin Rouge, decadent, swaying rhythms, melodic transformations, bohemian, wild flowers poetically alluring, enchanting goddess, dark night, crimson velvet rose bouquets, haunting Spanish dancers, ghosts, moonlight illuminating, universe spilling, bright stars, my pretty gold dust sparkles. Wet Hollywood, West Hollywood vampires, forever rules silver screen, sweet romantic adventures chasing dragons, opium, zigzags, coke, fine heroin, animated characters, sugar cube photography, pure lucid liquid dreaming, musical spirograph, spin fine art dancing rhythmically, silently blooms new flowers, treasures crowned, erotic gems. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I liked the poem. Each stanza held its own, has its own magic to it. I really liked that first stanza. Deep jet black starlight cascades, shimmering diamonds dancing, swirling round, twirling round and round, sweet butterflies on display. To me, she's describing the midnight sky and, the beauty of the shooting stars and all that. So I thought she did a beautiful job on this. And you did a fantastic read as well, Naomi. What did you think of the poem, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I had to go see the prompt because, you know, I'm always curious to see the prompt they write to. And it's a girl with a black dress and, like you said, you know, with stars and stuff on the sky, you know, things on it, like stars and the moon and stuff like that. And, yeah, I think it's a wonderful write to prompt. I like, you know, her reference to Moulin Rouge, like divine alchemy, arise, swing and absence, Moulin Rouge, decadent swaying rhythms, melodic transformations. And then she goes into the bohemian wildflowers there, and then the haunting Spanish dancers, the Hollywood vampires. So she goes through, you know, quite a few different dancers, dancing styles, and, you know, and that last stanza to end it all out. Really, really amazing. So, great job, Betty Page, as usual. Amazing, right?
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And thank you for reading that. I'd like to welcome Robbie to the show. Hello, Robbie.
Hello. Nice
How
to
are you?
Hear from you guys. Long time no hear. I haven't called into a show for a while, and I wanted a bit of distraction for my roller coaster day, so I thought it'd be nice to call in.
Hi, Robbie.
Well, that's awesome.
Hey, Naomi.
I appreciate you calling in.
You bet.
Are you able to read?
Yeah, I can read.
Okay, so I posted a poem, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, let me just lean here for a sec. In the bloodstream, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wire in the bloodstream. Going home across the shard bridge, spanning a rattlesnaked river that bites into the Irish Sea, cold-bloodedly pumping into Fleetwood's gaping fish mouth. Here, birthmarks are branded with icons, like Beach Lighthouse at Rossall Point, as northwesterly winds whistle across the dinosaur-ribbed sands. Yet towers still sentinel over the dark valley, riveted in iron, did russet, like warships wrought from steel. But aspire like a winged spirit above black street, back streets' cobbled lanes that echo with drunken frenzy. The river's stenched breath perfumes the breeze with sewage leaks as passing tankers head north and farm slurry seeps into pure veins. Distantly, Alvey's coal fields fade, whose ashen sides once licked red ulcers with ember tongues. Their slag banks were stacked near St. Michael's, whose hidden eddies still swallow many a beautiful troubled mind. Now the future skies spread star-spangled, glowing with fractured light, sparks that guide strangers embracing Morecambe Bay's wide open seas. I gotta get in the habit of that. I tend to read dramatically, and so I just read as if that was the end of the poem, but I forget that most people don't do that, and I just end poem. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for reading. I appreciate that. I really liked it. You know, it was really descriptive. You know, you can picture all this as you read through it. And I enjoyed the whole tonation of the poem. It's very dark, but yet beautiful at the same time. Distantly, Alva Lee's coalfield stayed, whose ashen sides once licked red ulcers with embered tongues. Their slag banks were slacked near St. Michael's, whose hidden eddies still swallow many a beautifully troubled mind. Now the future skies spread star-spangled, glowing with the fractured light that sparks that guide strangers, embracing Macambra Bay's wide open seas. And, you know, just beautiful imagery and metaphor throughout that, right? So it really takes you through this, I don't know, it's a imaginative land, but very haunting throughout. So excellent write, Brian Key Duffield, and great read, Robbie. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, you know, it takes us on an amazing ride for sure. The imagery and the metaphors throughout this are just incredible. You know, what a fabulous write this is. You know, makes me think of this small town I lived in, you know, that had these asbestos mines in it that are closed down now. But you know, they're still the big mountains are there, you know, and you wonder how it's, you know, really polluted, and the air is polluted by the asbestos, you know, in that little town, and you know, how it closed down, and how it's you know, it's like a walk through history, this poem, really. And really great stanzas all the way through. But, you know, I really like that echo with drunken frenzy, you know, above back streets, cobbled lanes, that echo with drunken frenzy. That's an amazing metaphor. Or the other one, as northwesterly winds whistle across the dinosaur-ribbed sands. That's really amazing, too. But he has, you know, awesome, awesome metaphors all through this. So a great, great write by Brian T. Duffield here. Amazing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Robbie, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I was curious about, it seems to have some specificity to it, so it makes me curious about the places in that it's referring to, like Alveoli's Cofields Fade, Morecambe Bay's Wide, and that it just seems he's going for like both a very broad imagery, but maybe specific as well. And I thought it was very extremely unique in how he was bringing out the emotions through imagery, because like it says, across the dinosaur ribbed sands. I mean, how often do you hear an image like that, right? And I enjoy when there's images like that truly are unique, but they don't feel affected. Like, they don't feel like it's someone trying to write, how can I sound like the most unique thing possible? You know, it sounds unique, but it just sounds like it's naturally come from his mind.
Yeah, I agree. Excellent comment, Robbie. Thank you so much. Okay, so we have the next poem. This is called Tea Leaves, and it's by Budo. Wind up ceramic tea spout of mystical blue, bonded proportions, encoded with orange pico, brewing, tepid, from Pachydermia's tusk, spewing forth trade winds to billow the cloth sails of fate, an organic foretelling of adventures yet unbeholden. Tales of the wooden man fleeced in Avion quandary, whose nose no lies, yet could not speak truths. The sword of Ozymandias, fraught with forgotten ebbing battles of conquest and retreat on the high seas of despair, of the peg-legged musketeer who bravely prevailed over nature's anger on the narrow brim of disaster with a diamond-studded dagger held high, the cowardly court jester skulking in the shadows of others' reality, who hoodwinked, sneaked evil from the Garden of Eve, of sea creatures that knew only hunger for revenge and spite, and met fetish with famine, and the elusive bird of prey that fomented fervor and fury onto traveling bands of seers and ravage many a voyager's dreams. All fantastical stories conjured up onto fiery brimstone plateau, etched out by the myriad of souls, those lost in purgatory forever, encased in an aqueous consciousness, the swirling fermentation of the conjured, held firmly by a Christian cup of charmed and cherished chronicles. Wow, that was beautiful. End poem. You know, it really has a lot of imagery in there, and it is a fantastical, right? You know, this teapot brewing all this up is just, it must be a mushroom tea, I think. You know, a little psychedelics going on in that pot, for sure. but no, it was a wonderful write to the prompt. I believe the picture is the prompt. And you can see an elephant inside of the teacup, which is blowing on the sails. And it really is a magical write. You know, it has a lot of imagery. And you can feel the passion that he wrote that with in the line. So an excellent write. And I appreciate your poetry, Budo. Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, my gracious, this is amazing. He took everything that was in that picture and he just, you know, flew with it. You know, there's so much in this, you know, from the peg-legged mouse musketeer, the cowardly court jester. He gave them each, you know, each personage in that picture there, like a story, you know, a life. Just amazing, you know, the way he flew with that prompt. And then, of course, you know, the ending. He brings it all together in the ending, you know, with the swirling fermentation of the conjured held firmly by a Christian cup of charmed and cherished chronicles. So just amazing. Way to go, Budo. Amazing right, and, you know, well-deserved front page pick. Wow, bravo.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Naomi. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Well, initially, it caught my attention because of the tea reference and how you see that in the picture. I'm a big tea drinker. I'm actually preparing some myself now. But most of what impressed me with this poem, the prime impression it left on me, was how, just like in the picture, like each image is an image. Like, it's a bunch of images unto themselves, all melded into one overall picture. And that's very much the feel of the poem. I felt like each stanza was its own story, but all those stories flowed into one overarching narrative. And as always, I enjoy when a work truly reflects the picture that was given as a prompt for it.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Robbie. Okay, so I've got the next poem. This is by Captain D2, which he is also a host of Exploring Expresias, and this is called Hush Visions of My Homeland, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Poem, Hushed Visions of My Homeland. I travel alone on this ship, severed from family and friends, my only traveling companion on this journey as I cross the beautiful, eternally dark, fathomless ocean by the moonlight and memories of my homeland. As I stand by the railing, the sea breeze brushing my hair, I am overcome by the wistful desire to return to a simpler, happier time in my life, to my homeland. I yearn for the uncomplicated joy of a former place and time. In my imagination, I walk amid the quiet streets of my hometown. Before this moment, such an ordinary, comfortable, familiar place, full of ordinary, comfortable, familiar people. My yearning for it now is so strong and unimaginably immense. The scent of the salt spray in the wake below me brings such vivid visions of my seaside village that I need but to close my eyes and my homesick mind will carry me back to home and family and happiness. With my mind's eyes, I see myself crossing the small footbridge to the temple that stands within the ancient ginkgo grove, my small feet covered with an ocean of golden leaves, covering the path to where I go to burn incense to honor my ancestors. When I return home, I am greeted by mother. The perfumes of dinner cooking and father smoking his pipe, and the sounds of mother humming to herself while my sisters play on the porch just outside our door. But now my eyes are open, and I try to imagine so distant a place I have never been and family I have not seen. I know Auntie and Uncle only from their letters to mother, letters from somewhere called San Francisco, a place that before seemed only a small stamp on a letter, that now is a travel ticket and a satchel stuffed with all I own, all that remained after the earthquake left me by myself, alone with no family, no home, my village, no graveyard. Mother of all mothers, father of all fathers, cradle of all my ancestors, I must leave you now. I must learn a new language, adopt new customs, live a new life. Yet in my soul are the roots of my homeland implanted forever. I travel alone on this ship, severed from family and friends, my only traveling companion on this journey as I cross the beautiful, eternally dark, fathomless ocean are the moonlight and memories of my homeland that I never will I see again. End poem.
Wow, such a beautiful read. And I really liked it a lot. You know, it really is, the emotions are palpable in that. You know, you can feel the desolation and the angst that this person has as they travel into a new world, a new life, leaving everything that they've had behind and only a memory. You know, it was really engaging throughout, and a powerful poem on the subject of starting over from nothing and, you know, how much faith that takes in the life that we live. So I thought it was just a beautiful job, Captain B2. And I'd like to welcome Weaver to the show. Hello, Weaver.
Hello, my dear. I got here at last.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Glad to have you.
Hi, Kate.
Hiya.
Hey, Weaver.
Hello, my dear. The trouble here was that the clocks went forward, and I didn't realize. Oh, I thought it was 2:30, and it was 3:30. Bloody hell.
Oh.
Sorry.
No,
that's caught me twice.
Calling them.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure.
Thank you for emphasizing that. I appreciate
and who all is here? Tell me, please. Bobby's here. Is that Naomi?
Yes, Naomi.
I'm here. Bobby, that was just a reading. That was just a SoundCloud. Robbie's here.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hiya. Okay, I'm gonna be quiet now. That was lovely. Thank you very much.
And that's Robbie from Robbie's Poetry.
Oh, yes. I got it. Hello, Robbie. I love that name, by the way. Hello. How nice to hear you.
Thank you. Nice to hear your Scottish name, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Naomi, what are your thoughts on Captain B2's poem?
Yeah, you know, when she was reading this, all I could think of is all the immigrants, you know, that are the refugees that come into our country. And, you know, they don't come in here, you know, to just come in. They come in because they're escaping, sometimes the political situation of their country, you know, but they leave so much behind. They sacrifice so much. And, you know, it just, my heart goes out to them. And like you said, there's a lot of emotion in this poem, Gray. And, you know, it makes me also think that, you know, it's not a home. A house doesn't make a home. It's the people that that live there that make the home. Like she says, you know, she talks about her auntie and her uncle and her mother and her father. Her father smoking his pipe, and the mother humming to herself, and her sisters playing on the porch. You know, it's the people that live in a house that make a home, and, you know, that must be awful for someone who has to, you know, to cross countries and oceans and, you know, just to to escape, you know, to move and leave all those people that they love behind. So just an amazing, amazing write here by Bobby.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
In my mind's eye, this manifested itself as a map somehow. I saw the narrative, and like it didn't really mention a map, but because this is very much a journey sort of a poem, it made me think of like pieces of art where you see a map and it's like a map of not quite of a real place, or like it's they have real places but in a different manner, like say sort of like a different sort of New York, you know, or something like that. And as I was listening, it was kind of a cool little process to imagine the poem. Like I kind of saw the poem trailing along the map that was forming in my head. So that was really interesting for me to have that kind of an image in my mind, and for it to, I think usually an image in your mind, it's just one static image, but with this, because of the way it was, the image was like evolving and changing. So I really enjoyed that.
Right. Yeah, that's neat. Great perspective. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
I actually only managed to hear half of it because I was puzzling with the radio gods again. But what I did hear, I thought was absolutely beautiful. What a horrible thing to happen to anybody, to be wrenched from the bosom of your family, or your family not to be there anymore, and you have to travel countless miles, probably without enough food to eat, no one looking after you. It must have been horrendous. I can't even imagine. I mean, none of us can. We have far more strength, I think, than we will ever realize until we're put under that kind of duress. And some sink and some swim. And that, I suppose, is what whoever's the fittest will go on, I suppose, which is very sad. But anyway, I thought it was beautifully written and beautifully read. So I really enjoyed it, if I can say enjoyed something so traumatic. But it was wonderful. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. And so would you like to read the next poem, Weaver, please?
Yes, of course. No problemo. Suck it to me, baby.
It's on the list.
Is it into the fire?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Oh, I had it. Oh, God, there it is. I thought it skipped off, but there it is, back again. Into the fire. Wow, picture. Okay. The question is, if you keep getting burned, why do you stand so close to the fire? Learn to hit the brakes. Learn from your mistakes. Don't get in the way of everything you say. Stop standing on the outside and always looking in. Quit looking over your shoulder at everywhere you've been. You're tapping on the window, but no one seems to hear. You have your own opinion, but your thoughts are never clear. Can anybody see you? Do you think that you inspire into the fire? End poem.
That's an awesome read, and I really like it. You know, it speaks to living the life that we're meant to live while you're alive and jumping right into that fire, you know. You just get cooking. yeah, fantastic, right? And well written as well. I mean, well read. Thank you so much, Weaver. Naomi, what are your thoughts?
I really like this. You know, this is so relatable to everybody out there. I think, you know, the just, you know, that line on between learning from your mistakes, being cautious, or daring, you know, taking risks, you know, how to walk that line. And I think he really expresses it well here, Chuck, in this poem. You know, you're tapping on the window, but no one seems to hear. You have your own opinion, but your thoughts are never clear. Yeah, I feel like that often, you know, jumbled up in my head. Can anybody see you? Do you think that you inspire? This might be a good time to jump into the fire. Yeah, you know, a good time, you know, just I have the word in French again, but I don't have it in English. Just the time to jump and to prove yourself and to dare and to go forward and to go for it, you know. Wonderful, wonderful right here by Chuck. I just love the rhythm and the flow of the whole thing also. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Robbie, what did you think?
When Naomi, you made your last comment there, I was wondering if you meant to say, like, a take a leap of faith?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, that kind of trails into what my thoughts were on this, because with the way poems work, the perspective can change, or the way it affects you, the way you think about it can change with the times you happen to be living in that. And, I had some overall impressions with this poem, like, with the idea of how fire is such a good image for, it can be either destructive or creative. And I kind of saw that here because, you know, you're always walking the line. Do you manage to stay behind that line and not get burned, or, you know, do you get burned? And sometimes there's a fire that you kind of have to jump into, you know, like to kind of burn off undesired things. But in terms of how it's kind of more specifically got deciphered for me because of the times we live in, I was just thinking of how we're all diving back into life now because we don't have to worry about restrictions and curfews and all that with COVID and that. And it just, in some way, it reminded me of that a little bit because we're all, it says this might be a good time to jump into the fire. It's been a while now. It's not like a new thing. Now that, like, you know, we've all been out more now for a fairly long time now. It's not new anymore, but it still reminded me of that a little bit because it's just fresh enough. And so, yeah, that it reminded me of that a little bit because of specifically because of the times that we live in.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, great comment. Thank you. And Weaver, what do you think of the poem that you read?
I thought it was delightful. So beautifully written and so easy to read. It's fabulous. I was amused and bemused and it made me think, which is something you always need some poetry, don't you? All those things just make it stand out for you. I'm reminded of an old saying, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But sometimes that's just an oncoming train. So you have to be careful. Don't always just leap in blindly because you're never very sure what you're going to meet. But I thought this was incredibly clever and I really enjoyed it. So I'm glad I got the chance to hear it. Thank you, TRL.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Raleigh, I've got the next poem up if you wouldn't mind reading that, please. Hello, Robbie.
Oh, it happened. It doesn't happen too often, but the mute monster got me finally.
Right.
It gets everyone eventually, right?
Yeah.
No trespassing. Me, that core of essence, resides in the nucleus of a polished granite egg surrounded by a barbed wire bird's nest. No tropical storm with raging winds and jagged balls of hail, no hurricane eye, no twister with flying shrapnel, unsettles the yoke where the stoic mind bathes in sunlight. Not a winter vortex, not a northwest clipper, not the plastic flow of polar ice sheets or alpine glaciers. Crack the shell where the pen spells a writer, unwavering through pain or joy lives here. Never an autumn drought, never a mud spring flood. Four seasons in the lavender meadow of mind, grounded where the rust cracked sign reads, no trespassing. End poem.
Well, fantastic read. And I enjoyed the write, you know, it really speaks to finding that place of peace in your mind. And staying there, you know, with no storms, no winter vortexes, no northwest clippers, not the plastic flow of polar ice sheets or alpine glaciers that crack the shell where spells a writer unwavering through pain or joy lives here. And I really enjoyed that. You know, don't trespass in my mind. Stay off my way. And, you know, it really is... A beautiful, it has a sublime sublimity to it that is fantastic. You know, it really is divine. So a well-written poem, Del Rey, and a great read, Robbie. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, what an amazing write. You know, we don't get a lot of writes from Dan on our shows, but when we do get them, or we go get them, they're always, always amazing because he's such an awesome, awesome writer. And, you know, this makes me think of, hey, man, don't come into my bubble when I'm writing poetry. And don't pop my bubble. You know, it's just amazing. His, you know, the idea of being a polished granite, a nucleus of a polished granite egg surrounded by a barbed wire bird's nest. That right away, that really caught me right at the beginning. And then, you know, all his reference, you know, Dan writes a lot about nature. He writes a lot of nature poems, and it shows, you know, the descriptions of nature throughout this poem are just, you know, amazing. But, you know, I love the overall message of this poem, you know, of being in your element there, being grounded, you know, and being just in the moment and you know, just, you know, being like he says, where the pen spells a writer unwavering through pain or joy lives here. You know, just amazing, amazing write.
Excellent comment, Naomi, thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that Robbie read?
Well, that first stanza really hits, doesn't it? I mean, that picture that it paints, me, that core of essence, resides in the nucleus of a polished granite egg surrounded by a barbed wire bird's nest. That's just so, so good. That's, you know, that's really, we're safe. You know, we're all right. We're going to be fine. Never mind the storms, the winds, hail. Not even a hurricane is going to move us. We're here and we're safe. My mind is to be tampered with when I'm busy. Yes, I thought it was incredibly well written. I really enjoyed it. He was just so clever. Never an autumn drought, never a mud spring flood. Yeah, beautifully written, and I'm really glad I had the chance to hear it. So thank you for sharing with us, Del.
Actually, great comment. And Robbie, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I enjoyed when I was thinking now, we've all been talking about the, you know, that process, that poetic process, the writing process, and we're all in that mode. I just kind of found it humorous. I was thinking of those times myself when, you know, like I'm at a coffee shop and someone's starting to talk to me and I'm like in the middle of an epic line and I know if I don't finish it, I'm going to lose it. And I'm like, shut up. In my head, I'm like, shut up. Wait
yeah.
until I finish. That's mine. But
right.
In all seriousness, on a more serious tone, I enjoyed how this poem had a generative feel or a kind of a protective feel in a unique way. It mentioned about the egg. And the thing is, this talks about like a generative, nurturing sort of energy, but it's more in a protective way. It's like the creativity comes from, like we were saying, you know, where crack sign reads no trespassing. It's the idea of that the process is protected. Sometimes there's like a more active generative quality in things, and sometimes there's a more passive. And to me, this is kind of pseudo passive, like it's because of the egg is being, it's not that the egg is hatching, it's that the egg is being protected, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, exactly. Great comment, thank you. Okay, Naomi, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, so this is by Dragon Sorceress, and it's Butterfly Flight. Beautiful butterfly, nocturnal flight, flutters ethereally through the night air, flittering quietly, you see her there, glides only at night, but brings such delight, a graceful creature that soothes and brings peace, Lunesta glows, illuminating trees, this butterfly soars, with a gentle breeze, lovely tranquility she does release, flies, fathomless breezes not known to man. We see its twinkle with our human eyes, eons of creation we can't disguise, butterfly blossoming its blessed plan, path of this butterfly winding and long, birthed by her creator, and he made her strong. End poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And I really enjoyed that poem. You know, it's beautiful and stunning. You know, it really captures your imagination with the butterfly. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. So what did you think, Robbie?
Well, I always enjoy a butterfly as an image. It's just so potent with various like innate imagery. There's just so many ways you can go with it. And there's a real sort of feel of mystery here with the butterfly and its flight. And I like especially the last four lines, your eons of creation we can't disguise. Blossoming with blessed plan of this butterfly winding and long, birthed by creator, and he made her strong. And I just saw the butterfly effect, actually, when I was reading those four lines, like that idea that you never know what one event will lead to and how it'll affect others. And, you know, I like that the last line here because, you know, birthed by Creator and made her strong. And it's kind of that gentle strength, you know. I always like seeing that sort of that image where something is strong, but it's gentle at the same time. And, yeah, I think this poem overall really played very well with all the potential directions you could go with a butterfly and like different metaphysical sort of similes and that you could come up with the butterfly. I felt that like it covered a lot of ground that way.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Robbie. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, well, this spoke to my heart. I adore the look of butterflies, the thought of butterflies. My CB handle in the olden days was blue satin butterfly, and I have a blue satin tattoo of a butterfly. So they're kind of very close to my heart, and I think this was absolutely beautiful. So gentle and pretty and sweet, and also it tells you of the strength of something that looks as though a whisper would blow it away. You know, it's not. It hasn't lasted this long if it wasn't strong. So, yeah, short life but a merry one, as they say. Beautifully, beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really liked it. Dragon, Sorceress, wonderful.
Thank you. And she wrote that poem to a poem written by Tomahawk called Lunesta and a poem of mine called Bathing Sublime. So I'm going to post Bathing Sublime and give that a read.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bathing Sublime by Grey Eye Smith. Darkness whispers into itself like ears of a dog on life's bookshelf, delighting senses not known to man, further the Creator's sacred plan. Shivered ripples echoing time through oceans of space, waves bathing sublime, grooves record, soulful retraced, fingers follow lines upon the old one faces. Cosmic breezes mingled last breaths, no sever rod as we lived our deaths. Races and places, names changed, but never the faces. From a twinkle within our eye, old souls peering out, seeking ancient reprise. Cliff tops hold her spirit there, lonely she waits for her sailor fare. Never taken, only torn, she outlived her captors and their evil glare, to lay with her husband in a realm out there. Open arm, he beheld her child inside, gently repairing the tears of his bride. Eons they danced in fervid romance, every atom of water holds their song, carried on breezes, sweet and strong. Rebirth, wanton love at every chance, some of the paths were winding and long. Onward they fought as they harbored their love, now it's all around them. Eagles and falcons carry their feathered entwinement on high above. Wolves skulk in the mist, guarding from attack with fierce desist. The story I tell you is hallowed, it's true, for their essence of knowing resides inside of you. End poem.
Wow.
And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
On mute, Naomi.
Gracious, yes, I'm on mute. Yeah, this is just gorgeous. The gray, bathing sublime. You can just see like they're like you know, enveloped like a butterfly in their cocoon there. Just amazing. You know, shivered ripples echoing time through oceans of space, waves bathing sublime, grooves record, soulful retrace. And then, you know, but open arms, he beheld her child inside, gently repairing the tears of his bride. Eons they danced in fevered romance, every atom of water holds their song, carried on breeze, sweet and strong, rebirth, wanton love at every chance, some of the paths were winding and long. Just an amazing, you know, composition all the way through, gray here, and so beautifully you know, spread out on the, across the page here with wonderful words and wonderful flow, and you know, it's just beautiful. So bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Appreciate that. And Robbie, what did you think?
Well, the I was getting sort of a feel about the poem and how it, the images and such that was leading me to, and it all got sort of wrapped up in your last stanza, your last couplet there. The story I tell you is hallowed, it's true, for their essence of knowing resides inside you. And it wrapped it up for me because as I was hearing the poem, it made me think of how people try to tell fortunes in that in different ways. But in this case, it's kind of the gaining that wisdom of knowledge of life through nature and paying attention to all the signs that nature is giving you. And it was very much to me, this felt very much like an internal sort of a process of exploring the universe, exploring what everything is around you, and kind of understanding your own feelings and such internally as opposed to externally.
Yeah, exactly. Great comment. Thank you, Robbie. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this was deep. I enjoyed this very much. Everybody has gone over most of it, so I'm not going to repeat anything. But my favorite part of your poem was, never taken, only torn. She outlived her captors and their evil glare to lay with her husband in a realm out there. Now, that was just beautiful. I really enjoyed that. That just said so much to me of love can outlive everything. Love can beat everything. Love is there, and it's a wonderful thing. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And I'm going to grab the next poem here. If you wouldn't mind reading this, please, Weaver. This is by Jenny Hunt, and it's called Ending Internal Suffering. If you wouldn't mind reading this one.
Not a problem. I just have to get it. And you know how long that can take me. Refresh. Not there yet. We'll get it in a moment. Whistle them. I got it. Yay. Ending internal suffering. Ended my existence by my own blade in my hand. Slipped off life's precipice. I lied. I'm not fine. Broken masochistic heart can no longer stand. Wounded by my sadistic brain, life is on the line. This suffering is not a game. It runs deeper than the roots of fir tree. Need to find a way to escape, or I fear my life will end in tragedy. Can't take any more, can't see a way out. Blacking out now, seeing dots, deeply I cut. This is not what life should be about. Everyone now left confused on why I gave up. Dark, deathly desire deepens, descending down into my mind's dungeon, ascending through my veins, out and bleeding. For this selfish defeat in hell, it's me they'll punish. End poem.
Wow, what a powerful write on the subject of being lost within yourself and the pain that you feel and you must let out through your veins. Just a haunting, haunting poem. And I hope that this isn't her reality, because, I mean, my goodness. She says in her author's notes, words on inner mental pain without saying pain, also inspired by my pal Pee-wee's poem, Precipice. Wow. Amazing, right? And a fantastic read as well. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, this is, a very relatable poem to a lot of people who, me included. Sometimes you just feel that mental pain inside of you, and it is like a deep as if you're deeply cut, you know, and yeah, you could even black out. I already faded, and you know, you just can't take it anymore. And everyone around, she says, everyone's now left confused on why I gave up. Yeah, everyone around you, you know, when you have cancer or when you have a broken leg or something, people see it. It's there. It's real. But when it's mental, it's, you know, people have a hard time to, you know, to understand that. And I think, you know, she addresses different issues here throughout this poem. And she explains that pain very well. So great job, Jenny, and awesome right here.
Thank you, Naomi. And Robbie, what did you think?
I had some of the same thoughts as Naomi, and kind of in furtherance of that, I was thinking of how sometimes, like, not only is it not external, that like a thing that people see, but it's even worse if you're actively trying to hide it for some reason, because you feel like bad things will happen for whatever reason if you show it, like people will judge you or people won't support you or what such. And I just thought of the agony that can cause. And the cutting imagery reminded me of something else along the lines of, like, you know, when somebody cuts themselves. I'm thinking of those times when people, like, they do smaller cuts on themselves on a regular basis. Like, I've seen someone locally who I've seen that those marks on their arms. Like, they'll, I think they simply call it cutting, where, you know, they don't feel much of emotion inside themselves, and they want to feel something. So, you know, they'll cut their arms, and, like, it won't be a deep cut, but it'll be, like, a lot of repeated small cuts. So, you know, the pain is there, and there's an injury, but it's not, like, a life-threatening thing, and they keep going on with it, and it freaks me out when I see that, and I, like, every time I see the one local person where I see that their arm has each arm probably has like 8 to 10 marks like that, and I see it a lot. Like, it's not just one month she did that, and that really gets an emotional reaction out of me when I see something like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. I appreciate that, Robbie. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's an incredibly brave thing to bare your soul. It can be cathartic, I know that. And sometimes it just needs to get out there from you to the page so that you can feel not so much you've shared, but it might make some people be a little bit more aware of what's going on around them if they are aware of this. And also, people don't think they're alone if they know of your story. So I think in a way, in a lot of ways, it's a really good thing because, you know, we're all sitting in our comfy little bubbles thinking everything is wonderful with the world when it is for us. But we're not aware of what it is for other people. And for other people, it might not be so sweet and so cool and so nice. So, yes, I appreciate the fact that this has been shared with us. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, you're up next, Naomi. And, Robbie, if you'd like to find a poem to read in the open poetry part, that would be great.
Actually, I'll be taking off now. But
okay.
It was nice to join you guys.
Awesome having you. Thank you. Good hearing your
voice.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night, Robbie.
Bye. Bye, Robbie.
Okay, so this is okay. Welcome to the Ghetto. Welcome to the Ghetto. The throat of the ghetto is sore and dry. Every lungful of hot air robs more water from the body. This hydration is never far away, and it's always a bloody long walk home to get a drink. hear cold nights borrow body heat as if they were a cup of sugar. Yet come the new light of day, it never returns with honeycomb. On the street you are walking, two smoking barrels shot, 50 million fingerprints on the easy trigger, half of them generations old. It's the same slanging shit all day and all night. So get your swagger on and knock yourself out. It's always a prayer each step home. Yeah, welcome to the sweet end of the Lower East End. Welcome to our hood. Enjoy the crazy merry-go-round of the hungers driven by cocktails of addiction to the soul-shattering acts just to get the merest bite. Wave to the Johnnies, Janes, and old Joes that sit in bottomless pits. Every time they throw a rope, the floor sinks a little lower, jolting their bodies to a dead stop. Take away your well-meant words, the songs that don't help, and the smiles that aren't real. Call it despair if you want, but hear something fake hurts more than anything else. Stop telling folks how to dream their way out. Their heads are already boggled by screams, gunshots, where they'll find their next meal, and all the faces of the people who've only said no. And stop wondering how our thinking is so different from your own, so alien. Stop thinking we see the suffering and only choose to make it all the worse. Because until you haven't seen just that tiny flicker of light and watched its dying ember snuffed out by the screeching, icy howl, you don't know nothing, brother. You don't know nothing, sister. The only decoration on this hood are our own nail marks on all those walls we cannot scale. So welcome to the ghetto where blackness comes as we watch ourselves being erased, where the only evidence of being is the thumping of our hearts and the chilled air in our lungs. End poem.
Whoa, sounds like you've been to the East End before. You know, so I don't know why the ghettos are always in the East End. You know, it seems that way everywhere. But, you know, I really like your poem. You know, it's full of powerful metaphor. The imagery is incredible. The flow is beautiful. And the whole diction is astounding, you know. Welcome to the ghetto where blackness comes as we watch ourselves being erased, where the only evidence of being is the thumping of our hearts and the chilled air in our lungs. Wow. Powerful, right, Naomi? Excellent, excellent read as well. Thank you so much for sharing. And Weaver, what did you think?
Whoa, Naomi, that was deep, honey. That was deep. I really enjoyed it. You read it so beautifully, too. I like the expression. I like wave to the Johnnies, Janes, and old Joes that sit in bottomless pits. Every time they throw a rope, the floor sinks a little lower, jolting their bodies to a dead stop. Yes, I can just imagine that would be the case, wouldn't it? Every time you think you're getting out, you get kicked back. Ah, it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. There was so much in it. I mean, I don't know much about America, and I don't know much about American way of life, but you have given me a real insight into what it can be and what it probably would be in these particular areas. So thank you. I love to be educated. So thank you very much, Naomi. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you both of you.
Great comment. And I'd like to welcome Louie to the show. Hello, Louie Waldo.
Hey, Gray. Hey, Naomi. Hey, Weaver.
Hi, honey.
Hi. Hello. Hi, guys.
How are you doing, darling?
I'm tired today. Tired. But I'm here.
Yeah.
At least it's not like 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I did not hear her read it, but while you were commenting, I heard her read towards the end, but, you know, the thing with, you know, the ghetto is a lot of times, because we have one here, and especially since we live near the border and we have all those immigrants that are trying to come over here illegally and they're on the street begging for money. You know, they're coming from places where their homes have been washed out to prevent their kids from being taken into warfare, or your daughters being used, you know, as meat for all these gangsters. You know, they're trying to cross the border, but of course with every country you have to follow the law to get in. You know, even I have to do it when I go to another country, you know. But in these areas, not only is it that problem, we also have issues with veterans that have suffering from severe PTSD, or you know, not being able to cope with life after the wars, because I live in a military town. So we have, you know, veterans on the street, and then you also have a lot of young girls and young women who have been severely abused at home or sexually abused living on the street, you know, trying to make their way by selling their bodies. You know, a ghetto is just a place of so many broken people. And, you know, I just, I really like this stanza. Here cold nights borrow body heat as if it were a cup of sugar, yet come the new light of day, it never returns with honeycomb. You know, they just live, I guess, hour to hour, you know. Then we had the freeze in the wintertime, and then, you know, there's no place, you know, there's no place for them to sleep. It's just, it's horrible. It's just like she says here, to the soul shattering acts just to get the merest bite. And when I heard her reading this, you know, I just saw so many things. And, you know, this type of lifestyle with newspapers for blankets and boxes and using garbage can bags to keep the water off of their bodies. Women who, especially during this economy, who so many people, because they're raising the rent so high, you know, that they're forced to live outside. And you do whatever it is to keep warm, you know. Just you see them with trash bags trying to keep the heat in and to keep the cold and the water out. So I don't know if that's exactly what she wanted to bring out. But what it does is it makes me think of, you know, how so many things are happening in our society, and what is actually in these ghettos is not always what people think, or just drug addicts and junkies and, you know, pimps trying to, you know, pick up women. There's a lot of broken people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We see more and more and more Montreal. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a lot before, but you know, like you said, with the raise, the rents going through the roof, the prices of the rents, there's more and more families.
Exactly.
More and more of it. And you know, these winter camps, you know, underneath the bridges and stuff like that, and underneath you know, crossovers. But you know, so then mm-hmm. it's become a real problem. And it's sad. It's really, really sad. So,
agreed.
Yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, Naomi. Sorry?
There seems to be no solution. Nobody seems to have a solution, you know? So.
No. No, it's definitely a difficult subject. I mean, we have a whole couple of blocks of it in our downtown area. And it's, you know, it's really, it's tragic, the whole story of it. So great chair, mind opening for sure. Okay, so we've got Weaver's poem next, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
The natural world of sky, shadows, boundless hope, lives upon your divine form. My world is within your eyes, the azure depth, innocent wonder, is truly astounding. I am now bereft of speech, seeing all that your glance implies. When I take a closer look, suddenly beneath that soft, silky, alabaster skin, little something vile. There is a sinuous secret stowaway. I glance up into windows of evil, which are coldly callous, cunning. I wonder, has it been there for a while? Sure of my devotion, it has become very careless. I see the shape of its true ghastly demon form. I'm close to panic. Then it vanishes from my sight. But I know I have to keep icy calm, or lose forever my soulmate, my lover, to this denizen of the dark. I hear it speak. The lilting voice is her own, though the words would never come from her sweet mouth. Come to me at midnight. Lay beside me. Join me in the void, where it's easy to get all that you want. I agree, and at 12, I pull my love into my embrace. My silver dagger is at her throat when I say to it, leave her now, or I swear I'll first kill your host, and thereby you, then myself. I'd have no life without her, but we'd meet again in the afterlife, and you would be in limbo forever. Choose. Screaming, he made his exit.
Well, and the title of that was called Demonic. Well, you know, when you speak to being possessed and having your lover possessed and speaking these words, come to me at midnight, lay beside me, join me in the void where it's easy to get all that you want. And then you agree, and at 12 you pull the knife, or you pull your love into your embrace. Your silver dagger is at her throat when you say to it, leave her now or I swear I will kill it. I will first kill your host and thereby you, then myself. I'd have no life without her, but we'd meet again in the afterlife and you would be in limbo forever. Choose. Screaming, he made his exit. Wow. A haunting, right, with excellent imagery. And, you know, you can feel the emotion of that final stanza as well. So just a powerful write and well read. Thank you so much for sharing. Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, my gracious, Kate. You bring us always into, you know, a dark, dark, you know, place. And, you know, we were really, really get it in almost enraptured into your story. You know, this is, I was listening. I was hanging on to every word. I wanted to know what was going to happen in the end. I was just enthralled through it all. You just kept my attention right at the peak there. And, you know, just amazing, amazing storytelling throughout. And wonderful, right? Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And Lou, what did you think of the poem?
A chilling giggle to that delicious ending that she had. I so enjoy your storytelling. It's always captivating, like Naomi was bringing out. You just carry the reader into the storyline, and then you always give that little delicious mental shock at the end of your storytelling that I've come to find such delightment in. Like, you know, that's weak. You, even if you didn't hear her reading it, you would know that that's her writing, her style. And she always gives this, like I said, electric pop at the end, where I found myself giggling because it was just Weaver and her beautiful, delightful self digging that knife in, and you never know which way she's going to put it or where she's going to stick it. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
I'm captivating.
Thank you. I actually don't always mean to, but for some reason, I always end up giving that little twist at the end. I don't know whether that's in my mind. Even when it's a romantic one, you'll find me doing... I actually said at one point, I had decided to kill this one, but then I thought, no, let's just let them live. it just would have gone either way. So, yeah, thank you very much. I enjoy it.
Excellent comment. Good night, Naomi. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here, and this is by Stelina, and she has a SoundCloud, so I'll play this. And thank you for the last minute ad, Bill.
I could talk to the animals, as the good doctor said. I think I know what each of them would say. Why do you kill us? We do you no harm. Leave us in peace and go on your way. Why cut off our tusks, the elephant might ask, to make things which will outlive you? And crocs and gators would sadly question why their loved ones are part of your shoe. Tigers would protest, we are not just rugs for you to walk and spill your coffee upon. Asks the mountain gorilla with a tear in his eye, where have all my family gone? You destroy our habitats by taking trees, orangutans angrily proclaim, while we spread seed to make your forests grow. Have you really got no shame? Our sea ice is melting, cry polar bears, thanks to your pollution and climate change. In sorrow, 84 snow leopards remaining, whisper, our fur on you looks strange. They all chorus, humans, you call us wild, and fearfully say, we pose a threat. Yet you are the ones who are killing the earth, and it seems you are not done yet.
Wow, that was epic. I really enjoyed it. And her artwork, I mean, that's amazing. She painted the gorilla, the mountain gorilla, and that's just amazing to me. I really love that. You were so talented, Stelina. Your poem is, it's a punch to the face of mankind. Like, wake the hell up. What are you doing? You know, you're killing off our world, and you seem to wear our furs and our skins on your feet and carve things out of things that will last past your lifetime by cutting off our tusks. A very poignant and sad reality in this poem. Very well done, Stelina. Thank you for sharing. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I think this is something that really had to be said. And I think more and more people are going to be saying exactly the same thing, but not as well, I don't think, because that was beautiful. Your painting is absolutely amazing. And the music was perfect. And birds. Yeah, the words are insightful and stunning, and we should listen to them. Trouble with the earth and trouble with humans is we are basically complacent. We think we can do whatever we like and nothing will go wrong. Because in the very end, we'll fix it. Well, no, we won't. We won't have time to fix it because it will be unfixable by the time we actually understand and believe and admit there's a problem. And those people with the money are the ones who are doing the running of the world. So they want to keep their money. They don't want to have to spend it on cleaning out the oceans or the rivers or... Ugh. This is when I am so glad I am old. Because I don't have much more time to go. because I don't like this world at all. I don't like the way it's become. It makes me sick. So, yes, beautifully done. And she opened her eyes to a lot of things that we don't think about when we should. So thank you, Stelina. Lovely, as usual.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Kate. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, that is a beautiful painting. I love the music. And also, I loved everything that she brought out in her poem about, you know, the destruction of land and animals and all different continents. And even here in the United States, in our continent, you know, during the Western days, the U.S. government had a lot to do with the killing of the buffalo that the Native Americans relied on for food and for covering. And, you know, it says that the reason they did that was they did this against Native Americans was because they were resisting the takeover of the lands of the white settlers. So they ordered the American military commanders and their troops to kill the buffalo to deny the Native Americans important source of their food. So they just murdered them all and just left them there to rot. And, you know, and that is the whole point. You know, people, you know, find that killing animals for trophies, owls, deer, bison, you know, bears, tigers, all these things, the tusk, you know, that are now illegal in so many different places because of they are just literally eradicating animal life, which they don't realize it's also eradicating human life, which eventually, like she brings out that, you know, that's what's going to happen. What is going to be left? Not even us.
Exactly. Great comment. Thank you, Lee. Okay, so I have the next poem up. This is called, this is Darkened Auras, and it's called Prowler. It's on the prowl. Watch your back. Before it springs, its quick attack. It's careful not to snap a branch as it stalks around the ranch. Hunger growing, led by the need for the taste of blood and pups to feed. Mouth-watering slobber, like waterfalls, now spraying forth past teeth and jaws. Piercing eyes now meet your gaze. She's picked up your scent, her head now raised. With one quick bark, she starts to sprint. Your only protection was a camping tent. You booked it back into your home as 12 glowing eyes started to comb through the cornfield toward mother, dear who broke down your door, smelling your fear. You and your family made quite a feast for this lucky pack of black furry beasts. Wow, what amazing poem. You can feel the panic that, you know, having these eyes upon you and then the crashing down of your door, you know, that you must feel as that is happening. But, you know, wolves do hunt in packs, and if you're part of that prey, then you're in for it, I feel. So a powerful right, and it was a pleasure to read that as well. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, you read that very well. Thank you so much. It was really a fabulous piece of poetry. And so many wonderful stanzas. Really quite hard to pick out one stanza. Now, the first one is pretty damn good, though, isn't it? It's on the prowl, watch your back before it springs its quick attack. Yes, I think this is very well written. And you can actually, you're looking at things from the point of view of the beast. And in actual fact, you kind of find yourself on the side of the beast. Not that you want the beast and her family to eat everybody, but you kind of think, well, you know, she needs to eat. What's she going to eat? And unfortunately, if you happen to be too close, it'll probably be you. Oh, dear. Yes.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, it makes me wonder, were they in the territory of the wolf, and we just have to look in the environment. You know, slowly things are dying and there's less food for them to eat. So naturally what happens is, you know, even like lions, when you're hungry, you know, and they smell you. And it doesn't matter if you're in a tent or, you know, somewhere out in the wilderness, you know, they need to feed their young. And, you know, this would be a nightmare for anybody to have a pack of wolves prowling them, and especially wolves that are so powerful that they can break into your home to get out to eat you. And, you know, that's more to me like, you know, some bigger than a wolf. It's, you know, in between to me, like a werewolf and a wolf that's blended. And for that pack to come after you like that would absolutely be horrifying to me. This is, it's like a short movie of like, oh my God, you know, but so many people don't realize that they can smell and track you. So wherever you go, giving them more food possibly.
Yeah. And Robbie said he's been around dogs of a friend who had Malamutes. And he says you can, even that can feel intimidating. You can feel the wolf in them. So, yeah, I agree. Okay, Lou, I've got the next poll up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I don't see it. Okay, here we go. By Isama?
Yes.
After the Rain by Isama Chiba. The rain poured, washing away all the pain of yesterday. Every storm is followed by a rainbow, and every cloud passes through like a mirage. The sun will rise again each morn, filling the earth with warmth, spreading its rays on new horizons. Nothing remains the same. The light of day will prevail, the darkness of night, and our sorrow will turn into joy. End poem. And she wrote that to a quote, after the rain, the sun will reappear. There is life. After the pain, the joy will still be here, by Walt Disney.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. Actually, you got the comment on that, right, Weaver?
No, you didn't ask for comments.
No, honestly, it's not a problem. I'm just about asleep, so you just go past me and carry on. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Lou, would you like to comment on it?
Yeah, it is a beautiful poem by Isama Chiba. She always writes so many different poems about, you know, her age, you know, and what she's learned in life. And, you know, we may think that there is always going to be darkness, but, we need to be reminded that we can find a way and find peace sometimes. And after a morning rain of storm of troubles, when we wake up, sometimes things in the morning don't look as bad.
Yeah, I agree. It's like a uplifting bedtime tale for a child. But I have the next poem up. This is called Am I Barking Up the Wrong Tree by Eric Svensson, and he has a SoundCloud. So we'll play that.
Am I barking up the wrong tree? Meta splendiferous mind sat before a gothic rose window. Thoughts gurgled, gargoyle keen, back straight, legs crossed. I shuddered not to be overwhelmed by the sheer force field emanating from Barker. Felt like little Lord Fauntleroy, dressed in blue velvet of sorts, dreamy after walking the steamy lab labyrinth maze of the artist's paint pigment inquisition. Mortal book of blood levitated, eyes well shuttered, not to be drawn in by the parimer's physical force field. Am I barking up the wrong tree? Question posed quietly, mind-wise. Pastoral scenes flickered, bickered through my mind. Monochrome, not the garish, colored effervescence of Barker's paintings. Bluebells, buttercups, and butterflies framed each clip. Step across the veil. Inquisitive eyes opened. Lotus flower, I sat on the edge of a cliff all fluffy and fine. Spine-chilling winds blew up the chasm that separated us. Barker stood naked on a distant shore. Such a splendiferous, bright Gothic rose window never seen before. Cathedral mind emanated vast color columns. Gargoyles gurgled Bach's fugue. Rollerblade themes swept leapt across the chasm to kidnap me. Come hither, the soft-spoken paramour called. Suddenly, fluffy pink lotus flower pined for a mantra. Robust, regal bark on the distant shore responded through chasm chill. Leaven the flat bread of what you know with the yeast of what you dream, and it may come to pass. Oddly, the church organ chasm started playing the soundtrack of Twin Peaks. Macabre, ominous omnipresence crawled closer, not unlike books of blood entities. Rainbow-colored birds of paradise preened, careened around Barker on the distant shore. Pin-drop silence settled, magnified by ribald paint pigment effervescence. Swaddling cloth wrapped, the answer lay in my lap. Gargoyle baby John Milton gaily gurgled. The mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell a hell of heaven. No longer crucified on the cross of space and time, a pinker, fluffier, 2022 pink lotus flower intoned. Exemplify, magnify, and beautify for the greater good of all humanity. End poem.
Wow, what a talented reader he is. You know, he has such a classiness to his voice that really carries the story across your mind. And I really like it. You know, it speaks to turning hell into heaven and heaven into hell. It's all in your mind and what you make it. And I thought it was just a fascinating take on the prompt, which was prompt 13, leavening the fat bread of what we know with the yeast of what we dream may come to pass. So just a fantastic poem and excellent share. Thank you so much for sharing that, Eric. Beautiful job. And Weaver, what did you think?
I thought it was very clever, as always. An abundance of overflowing words. A real treat, I must admit, it really is. I just love hearing both Frank and other people I know write the same similar way, and I love listening to it. But I particularly liked after the leaving the flatbed of what you know with the yeast of what you dream of. Oddly, the church organ chasm started playing the soundtrack of Twin Peaks. You wouldn't have thought he would even have been aware of Twin Peaks, let alone put it in one of his poems. I thought that was really neat. Well done, Eric. Very good. Cut to the layman going on there. And yes, I thought it was wonderful. As usual, just beautifully written. So thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
You know, his wording is just, you know, I agree with Weaver. It's just sheer delight. His vocabulary is just fabulous. You know, I loved such a splendiferous. And as soon as I heard him say that word, I just could not stop grinning as I was listening to the rest of this. Because, you know, humans are like thought, but we do what we can and how we can. But our dreams are like yeast, you know, we dream big and, you know, hopefully, you know, our dreams will come true, you know. Such a splendiferous, light, gothic rose window never seen before. Cathedral mine emanated vast color columns, gargoyles, gurgled, box fugue. Ah! Come on, you just, that imagery is just awesome. And rollerblade theme swept left across the chasm to kidnap me, and just, you know, all these different images, is like Pink Floyd or something. That's spoken paramour called, you know, you just an enchantment. It's just a full enchantment, this mixture of this Alice in Wonderland imagery. And he takes us on this, you know, almost opium ride with his vocabulary.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Excellent comment. And we have 3 minutes left, so would you like to pimp your show Monday, Lee?
Yeah, I'm still doing front page picks and open poetry. So if you would like to put one there, and I'm still collecting front page picks for this month, should be read for next month. So it's going to be a fabulous show.
Great comment. Thank you.
I just woke up.
Eric's poems got me all worked up in delicious vocabulary.
Oh, it is wonderful.
Mylan.
Awesome.
And Weaver, you got stuff coming up? Thank you. I think Weaver's, you do Wednesday, right? Brevity and...
I don't, it's once a fortnight, so I don't think it's this week. I think it's next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been known to be wrong, because I don't even know which way's up at the moment, so I don't even know what day it is. Dear, too much whiskey.
Well, we love you.
Thank you, babe. Yeah, so I think it's a fortnight from now, yeah. I'll find out and let you know.
Okay. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. Absolutely enjoy your company every day. Yeah,
thank you.
For sure. Thank you for calling in.
Every day.
Well, every time. Yeah. I can listen to her voice every day.
No, once in a while will do. My voice could get very annoying. I must admit, it annoys me, so
it doesn't
annoy you.
No.
No?
Like,
okay.
Being with you on a radio show is like being in a candy shop. Never know what you're going to get.
That's so true. That is so true. I haven't sworn yet, which is something to look forward to, but apart from that, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Selena says that your show is next week.
Oh, good. Thank you, Selena. I know nothing. You tell me nothing.
All right. Well, much love, lady. Have a good night.
Much love. Oh, wait, hold on before you go. Phil put up a new contest for the artist sensuality. So it's about colors. Go check it out. They're beautiful.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I will do. Okay, night-night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you,
love
Lola.
Bye.
Bye.
Buenas noches. Good night.
Good night. Okay.